Our Bible reading this morning is taken from 1 Matthew 6, 19 to 24, and also 1 Timothy 6, 6 to 10, and 17 to 19. Matthew 6, 19 to 24. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And the second reading is taken from 1 Timothy 6, 6 to 10. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And then 17 to 19. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. The topic of our sermon today is victory over mammon. Victory over mammon. And would like to welcome our speaker, Brother Chinedu Oranyi, for the word. We look forward to learning more about this aspect of our quarter's theme, strengthening our faith. Brother Chinedu.
Good morning, church. It's so good to be back in church again. And like I've said so many times, this is very much like my home church, and I'm blessed every time I come. Some of you may have noticed I was videoing during a segment of the worship. And sometimes you don't know how beautiful your worship is. But only those who have stayed in the desert and come out appreciate some things that other people take for granted. Worship this morning was like a clip out of heaven. And that video I sent, I copied, I videoed, I'm sending it across the Arab world. I want many people to see what God intends for worship. Can we celebrate Jesus, who is with us here? Thank you, VFC, for maintaining this great worship atmosphere. And I'm praying for you that nothing would destroy the stewardship God has given us in the name of Jesus. God has given us a great stewardship over this sanctuary and over this community. Victoria Fellowship Church is a community that God Himself has put together, and nothing will destroy the beauty of this community in the name of Jesus. We shall continue to pray that the Lord Himself will grow the ministry in this church in Jesus' name. Let me say a word of prayer as we go into the sermon. Father, thank you so much for VFC. Thank you for this beautiful gathering of saints. Thank you for the atmosphere of worship that I experienced this morning. So sweet, so holy, so inviting, so God-honoring. Lord, we pray the beauty of Jesus will always be the center of this church, and that you will always find pleasure in this church. As we approach your word, Lord, let your word speak. Let your word bring life. Let your word encourage, and let your word strengthen us. And all the glory will be yours. In Jesus' name, amen. The sermon for this morning is Victory Over Mammon. Victory Over Mammon. And our text, which we have read already, Matthew chapter 6 from verse 19, but I expanded that a little bit to verse 34. And then 1 Timothy chapter 6 from 6 to 10 and 17 to 19. As an introduction, I want to say that there is nothing at all wrong with riches. We need to set that in place, because there is a way people can teach that wealth or riches in itself is wrong. Wealth and riches in itself is not wrong. And so the issue we are dealing with, the issue of Mammon, is really not about the error or the evil in wealth. In fact, if you look at the Bible, it's full of people who worshipped and followed the Lord and were very wealthy. You know stories. Abraham was a very wealthy man. David was very wealthy. Even the women that served and ministered to Jesus were wealthy. Lydia was wealthy. And so wealth is not the issue we are dealing with this morning. The second introduction I want to make is that actually we need wealth. We need riches to build the kingdom. So much in growing God's kingdom require a lot of resources. As an organization, our yearly budget runs into millions of US dollars. And we are able to do the things we do because God provides what we need. And so, as an intro, we want to say that the error in teaching that wealth is wrong is not what we are trying to do. In fact, for missions to be successful, we need wealth. We need resources. And so I just want to lay that out there as an introduction that wealth is not the problem. And so when we talk of victory over mammon, it's not to say we don't want wealth. I will attempt to answer 5 questions this morning. Question number 1. What is the spirit of mammon? What is the spirit of mammon? Question number 2. What are the forces driving man to mammon? Question number 3. How do we counteract those forces? Question number 4. What are the results of focusing on mammon? And question number 5, what does God specifically command us to do on this matter of mammon? What does God command us to do? That will be the conclusion where we'll be looking at what should we be doing as regards wealth and mammon. Now, question number 1. What is the spirit of mammon? The issue is not wealth. The issue is not riches. The issue is that around wealth, around riches, is a spirit that is making a demand. A spirit is making a demand. Now, just like everything else that God intends for good, Satan is a usurper. And so Satan steps into that which was meant for good and creates around it its own ideology, its own religion. And so, riches or wealth is not the issue, but the spirit that is taking advantage of something good and wants to make of itself something. So in verse 19 to 21 of Matthew 6, he says, "Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves in heaven treasures, where neither moth nor rust destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also." What is the spirit of mammon? A. It is demanding for heart loyalty. Mammon is demanding, is requesting, is asking, "Make me an idol in your heart. Make me your life goal." That is the demand of the spirit of mammon. And God says, wealth is good, but don't make it your idol. Wealth is good, but don't make it your life ambition. But the spirit of mammon says, no, make me your reason for living. Make me your life ambition. Make me the idol on your heart. What is the spirit of Mammon and what does it want? It wants and is demanding obedience. Verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or despise, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and Mammon. Mammon is saying, I want to be your master. Mammon is saying, I will rule in your life. And as a people of God, we are saying, no, you will not rule. Can the church say with me, Mammon, you will not rule in my life? Because Jesus made it clear, you will either love one and despise the other, or love this one and despise the other. So you have God on one side, you have Mammon on the other side, and you cannot have two masters. And every one of us, we need to ask ourselves the question, is Mammon our master, or is God our master? May we echo always, when that question comes, may we say, God alone is our master. Question number two, what are the internal forces? You see, for Mammon, the spirit of Mammon to be successful, he creates forces that push us to Mammon. So what are those internal forces driving man to Mammon? What are those things that push us to this idol? Verse 25 says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? What is that internal force, number one? Is worrying about life. Friends, what makes us run to Mammon? What makes us want to make Mammon king? Is a worry in our hearts. Anxiety. Now here it says, what will I eat? What will I drink? Which are the basics? But even Mammon goes beyond that. Where will I live? Where will I retire? What are my investments? And the worry about all these things drive us, push us, pull us. It's a force. How many of you know what I'm talking about? There's this thing within you. You're always thinking about tomorrow. How will I live? How will I survive? I'm visiting Nigeria. And I don't know how people survive. I don't know how people survive. I was in Abuja and my sister gave me her car to drive. So I drove to a filling station. And I just said, put fuel. And I was looking at my phone. And when I raised my eyes, I saw the figures, 3, 3. So I said, is that 3,000? He said, oh, guy, it's 33,000. I said, stop! And the tank was not full. I said, 33,000. And that was when there was fuel. Well.
So the reality of life, friends, actually push us to make mammon king. When you are thinking, how do I put fuel in my car? How do I pay for my children's school fees? How do I pay for my rents? How do I survive? And these are legitimate questions. But what they do is they make mammon king. What they do is we begin to worship mammon. We begin to make mammon the life goal. But Jesus says, don't worry. It seems too simplistic. If this was an exhortation by the apostles or the disciples, we may say these ones did not really understand. This is Jesus saying, I know what you need. Don't worry. Because if you worry, you empower mammon. If you worry, you release a beast. And that beast will drive you to do things you don't want to do. Does that mean we shouldn't work hard? We should. Does that mean we shouldn't try to make savings? We should. Does that mean we shouldn't plan for the future? We should. But we must not make those things become worry and anxiety. The Bible talking about Saul, King Saul. It says, when the Spirit of the Lord departed from him, another spirit came. 1 Samuel 16. And one thing that touched me there, it says, this new spirit filled him with anxieties and fears. Did you hear that? This new spirit filled him with what? Anxieties and fears. But those things came when the Spirit of the Lord departed. Church, the will of God is not that we live under anxieties and fears. I think it's the NLT that says, a troubling spirit came and filled him with anxieties and fears. Another version, maybe Amplified, says, a depressing spirit. Jesus says, don't worry. Don't let this other spirit in. There's another spirit that fills us with anxieties and fears and troubles in our hearts. If we give that spirit a hold, it will drive us to the spirit of mammon. So remember, question number two is what? What are the internal forces driving us? Number one is what? Worry. Number two, in verse 26, Jesus is still speaking. Verse 26 says, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap or gather into barns, yet their heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Verse 30. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you little of faith? So, what are internal forces? What is driving us to the spirit of mammon? Number one was worry, right? What is the second thing? Huh? Lack of faith, okay? But lack of faith in what? Lack of faith in two things. Lack of faith in our value to God. Is somebody following me? Jesus says, are you not more valuable? If the Father will clothe the birds and the lilies, are you not more valuable? So what drives us to the spirit of mammon is lack of faith in our value before God, but also lack of faith in God's provision
I've worked as a missionary for over 30 years. And for over 30 years, I have served without a salary. But brethren, do I look like I've missed something? No, look well. Should I come down and show you my size? I have not missed anything. You know why? I don't need a salary as evidence of God's provision. Nothing wrong in getting a salary. But when God has said, go and do this and trust me to provide, faith says, I believe. Amen. Faith says, I believe. And God works in different ways. When my first daughter, she's here. Where's Chuku from Naya? Stand up, girl. Stand up. That's my pretty little princess. When Chuku from Naya was about to go to university, and I'm thinking, okay, which university do you want to go to? You know, in my mind, I was thinking UNILAG, you know, LASU, UNN. She said, Covenant. Ha. Covenant University, one of the most expensive. Girl, did you not know that I live by faith? She's a graduate. She's working now. And do you know one way God did a miracle? Covenant University gave her 100% scholarship. And she came out with the first class. What am I saying? Faith means you believe. I did not know Covenant will give her a scholarship when I said, okay, girl, if that's the university you want, God will provide. Our second girl is in Bowen University, fifth year medical college. Medicine is expensive. I am Dr. Chinedu Oranye, but my doctor is fake. When I see what that girl is going through, I say, my doctor is not, we are not real doctors. And the cost is expensive. But she's in her fifth year. God is saying to the church today, know your value. Know your value. One of the driving forces to the spirit of Mammon is that we don't know our value. We are not defined by the economy of our country. We don't live by the principles of the world. If God will take care of lilies, if God will take care... My son went to see, you know, he's about to enter university. And you know, boys are different. Anyway, let me not talk about my son. Because that's a sermon in itself. But just to say, by the grace of God, you are more important than the lilies of the valley. Believe in God's providence. It will stop that pull, that push to the spirit of Mammon. You can look at the spirit of Mammon and you can say, no, no. Question number three. How can we counteract these forces? Question number three. So, General Oni, you are a bit confused with the questions. Okay, question number one was, what is the spirit of Mammon? Question number two, what are the internal forces driving man to Mammon? Question number three, how can we counteract? Because we must counteract these forces. Brethren, if you don't counteract the law of gravity, try jumping up from the balcony. You have to counteract it. The force of the spirit of Mammon is real, is strong, is pulling,
is pushing. To stand still will not bring change. We will not have victory unless we counteract the Spirit. How do we counteract the Spirit? Verse 33. Are you with me, studio? Verse 33. It says, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek first. How do we counteract this force? Number one, focus on the King and the kingdom of God. Don't focus on the realities around you. Focus on the kingdom of God. Focus on what God is doing. Focus on what God plans to do. Focus on building the kingdom. One of the things God has taught me is that even as a missionary, and as keep focusing on the kingdom. Do you want God to surround you with multiples of blessing? Focus on the kingdom. Do you want victory over the spirit of Mammon? Focus on the kingdom. Focus on the kingdom. These signs shall follow. The provisions will follow. These things shall be added. God is going to add. But He says, focus first of all, what? On the kingdom. One of the reasons many people are struggling is we have a wrong focus. We are focusing on ourselves. We are focusing on our needs. We are focusing on our family. And when we make ourselves the focus, we will be swallowed in by the spirit of Mammon. But focus on the kingdom, not yourself. Second thing, focus on God's righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and what? His righteousness. Wake up and don't start praying for yourself. Pray for God's righteousness to fill you, fill your family, fill the world, fill the church. Focus on God's righteousness. Victoria Fellowship Church, the only way the blessings of God will multiply in this church is when we focus on God's righteousness, God's holiness. Hallelujah. Focus on God's righteousness. And then number three, believe that God will add to you. All right? It's an addition. Believe God will add to you. God will add to you. I really believe with all my heart that God is a perfecter of addition. He will add to you. He will add to you. God will give you more than you need. He will add to you. If the focus is right, He will add to you. I am a walking miracle. Came to Lagos, so hot. I don't have a vehicle. How do I move around? How do I survive? My younger brother came and dropped the key to his Range Rover with a full tank. He said, drive as long as you're in Lagos, you have a car, you have fuel. I'm giving that example because Nkechinyere saw me driving with a Range Rover and she may think this missionary does not need support anymore. Just for clarification, Nkechinyere, are you here? Just for clarification, okay? Just for clarification. It's not my car. Now, God knew I needed a vehicle, and honestly, I told my brother, this car is too big for me. Find one small Corolla or something. Let me just be moving. He says, you deserve it. And this is the only car he has. You know, I said, no. We are struggling. I said, no. But you know what? God knows that I need a stable car. God, listen, God will add to you. God, but what does he say? Focus on what? On the kingdom. Focus on the kingdom. What you need will come, even more than you need. But focus on the kingdom. Focus on righteousness. It will come. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Question number four. What are the results of focusing on mammon? Because focusing on mammon has results, all right? So we need to understand what happens when people focus on mammon. Because if you don't understand that, then you are wondering, why can't I just serve two masters? What's wrong in serving two masters? What's wrong in making mammon my idol? What's wrong in pursuing money as my life goal? Speaking to a young man the other day, I said, what is your vision for life? He said, it's to make money. Ha. I said, okay. It's good to make money, but making money so that what will happen? You see, that's the problem. When you focus on money as an end, the spirit of mammon swallows you. And listen, may God make you a billionaire in Jesus' name. But remember, it must have purpose. Is somebody following me? It must have purpose. It must have purpose. It's not an end. When you focus on mammon as an end, then there are some things that happen. I want to mention two of them. Verse 23. It says, but if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of what? Darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? What does that mean? Your eyes are your focus, right? As we behold Jesus, as we behold his glory, as we focus on the kingdom, as we focus on his righteousness, what does the Bible say? We are being what? Changed from what? Glory to glory. Hallelujah. But when you focus on mammon and wealth, your eye is bad. And what does that do? It means that internally, darkness comes. Many people focusing on mammon live in darkness. They chase wealth as an end. It opens the floodgates of darkness. That is why corruption thrives. Because when mammon is the end goal, darkness multiplies. Darkness multiplies. I don't want to call names, but I was shocked, you know, hearing some of the rumors and some of the stories. God bless you. You know, I don't come from Egypt regularly. So I have the blessings of the church to operate. Don't say I'm bringing the spirit of Egypt here, no. But permit me a bit of liberty. Am I permitted? Lay assistant, am I permitted? Just a few minutes, let me round up. Do you know? I'm hearing. Is it ministry of poverty or ministry of... Is it the one they stole so much money recently? Humanitarian. Is it humanitarian? Poverty alleviation. The amount of money they said they stole, I cannot even imagine it. I don't have the figures now, but when somebody told me, it was mind-blowing. This is Ministry of Poverty Alleviation. And you are stealing money that should be helping the poor.
How will God not judge you? Please, I don't know the person and I'm not being political. But the reality is when your eye is focused on wealth and wealth becomes the idol, the god, the reason for living, the Bible says your eye is bad, and the Bible says inside you, you'll be filled with what? Darkness. Darkness. On behalf of the leadership of Victoria Fellowship Church, we don't want any stolen money in our coffers. We don't. Don't support us in missions if there's no money. What comes to the house of God must be righteous money. It must be righteous money. Darkness. So, what are the results? Number one is darkness fills the soul. And the second result in verse 24, when he says no man can serve two masters, you either hate one or love the other and be loyal to one, despise the other. If we focus on mammon, we will despise God. Because we can't do both. You cannot love God and love mammon at the same time. You cannot worship God and worship mammon at the same time. We will despise God. We will despise the word of God. We will cut corners. We will be corrupt. We will do evil. And all that is what is called despising the Lord. Let's close from the 1 Timothy passage. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 to 10, and 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 to 19. The final question, what does God specifically expect from us? What does God command us? Not even just expect. What does God command us? 1 Timothy 6:6. What does it say? Now, godliness and contentment is what? Great gain. Number one is what? Contentment. Contentment brings godliness. True godliness has contentment. If someone does not practice contentment, then the spirit of mammon will overtake him. Does that mean we shouldn't want more? We should want more. Does that mean we shouldn't be ambitious? We should be ambitious. But please, it must first of all be from the place of what? Contentment and thanksgiving. I have this today. I am content. I am thankful. While I pray for more, while I labor for more, I am content. I'm not grumbling. I'm not quarreling. I am content. So God commands contentment. Number one. What's the second thing God commands in verse 10? For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves with many sorrows. What is commandment number two? Learn to handle money without loving money. Did somebody hear me? Do you know you can handle money? You can manage money without loving money. How many of you believe it's possible to do that? You can, in fact, a secret of stewardship of wealth is you don't love it. And the people that God will release excessive amounts of wealth to are people that God sees their heart. They can handle wealth without loving it. They can handle billions without loving it. A command number two is don't love it. Don't love wealth. Don't love wealth. I repeat, don't love it. Handle it. Receive it. Use it. But don't love it.
Command number 3, verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present age, not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Command number 3 is don't be proud because you have wealth. He says, command those who are rich not to be haughty. Haughty is proud, snobbish. Thank God I'm not rich like some of you. Nobody say amen to that. The poor man, the average man, the man who does not command great wealth, cannot be proud about what he doesn't have. But here there is a command to the rich, very specific. It's a very specific command. If God has given you wealth, the command is what? Don't be haughty. Don't be proud. Don't be snobbish. Don't lift up your shoulders. Because what is it that you have received that was not given to you? What is it? Command number 3. Or number 4, I think. He says in that same verse 17, don't trust in riches or wealth. Don't trust. It's a command. Don't trust. Some people commit suicide because they have lost their wealth. Because all their trust is in their wealth. He said, trust in the living God, not in your wealth. And then number 5, verse 18. 1 Timothy 6, 18 says, let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. Command number 5 is what? Use your wealth to do good. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Because everything you store here, you would leave behind. Forgive me, I'm using a bad example, and I don't mean he's a bad person. But our brother, Herbert Wigwe, who passed away, he was a wealthy man. Now, I'm not part of any conspiracy theories of anything. But he has passed away. All the wealth he has, where are they now? They are here. Can he control them? No. Now, don't quote me as saying he's somebody bad or anything. I'm only saying that no matter how much wealth we have, when we pass on to the next life, we leave everything. So it's a specific commandment. It says what? Use your wealth to do good. Share, give, help, invest in lives, invest in God's kingdom, invest in missions, invest. And you are storing treasures where? For yourself in eternity. This is what God has asked me to share with you, church. We have victory over mammon. Can I hear a better amen to that? Amen. We will not serve that spirit. Is that a prayer we can make together? Can you say to the Lord, I will not serve the Spirit? Please open your mouth and say, I will not serve the spirit of mammon. I will serve my God. Turn that to a moment of prayer just for 1 minute. As we prepare our hearts for communion, I will be leading communion in a minute. But begin to just pray and say, God, I will not serve mammon. Now, if you honestly are struggling and you feel the spirit of mammon has held you tight, and you feel your heart needs help, you can meet some of us afterwards. We will just agree with you in prayer. Hallelujah. I don't want to make an altar call. We don't have the time. But you can pray where you are now and say, Lord, help me. Help me. Help me not to serve mammon. Help me to serve you. Help my eyes to focus only on the King and the kingdom and his righteousness.